Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Surprise Jab Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Ruger, surprising with new topics every single week and jabbing you with your daily dose of UFC. And ladies and gentlemen, we are coming fresh off of WrestleMania 41. It was an electric time. I can't even lie, it was so much fun watching it. This was one of those years where, you know, oftentimes you can either say night one was better or night two is better. This one leaves a lot more questions than answers. There's certainly a lot more criticism this year than last year. We're going to be breaking down every single matchup that happened, the entire show as a whole, for night one and night two of WrestleMania 41. As well, on today's episode, we will be looking at a couple new UFC matchups that have been announced, as we will be dropping our UFC Des Moines. Actually, no, it's not Des Moines. It's UFC Kansas City predictions later in the week on another episode. But yeah, for today, it's all about WrestleMania. It was a pretty good weekend, guys. You know, my buddy Ryan was able to come down. We were able to go out and have a very eventful night, I will say. I was able to watch some sports with the boys, watch wrestling, of course. And, you know, I really, this weekend, I was alone Friday and a decent part of Saturday. You know, learning to be alone and find entertainment for yourself is quite beautiful. I legit just listened to music, did a puzzle, watched some movies Friday night. And I was just at such inner peace and, you know, really just exploring my mind. And, you know, there's just a lot going on in my life with graduation and people and stuff. And, you know, I'm happy to have times like that. And it was Easter. I was able to go to church, praise Jesus. It was a great time. Let's get right on into the episode, though. No need to delay the inevitable. And the inevitable is that we are going to be getting six of these matches, fingers crossed, coming up. So first off, we got a good one here. UFC Vegas 106 going down May 17th. Jared Flash Gordon finally back in action. He's taking on Thiago Moises, 19-8 professionally. He's 8-6 in the UFC, so 8-6 for both of these gentlemen in their UFC tenure. This will be interesting. It's interesting, you know, Jared much more of a striker, Thiago much more of a grappler. It's a good matchup at lightweight, just another one of the unranked lightweight matchups we haven't even gotten yet. Thiago Moises, 30 years old. Like, the amount of stuff that he's done, and he's only 30 years old, I'm excited to see what he still has in the tank. Now, as for Jared Flash Gordon, yeah, that boy's 37. He's going to be turning 38 in September. If I'm him, it's do or die if you want to make a run at something. But other than that, this is a decent lightweight matchup. You know, Thiago main evented against Islam Makhachev. Jared Gordon is arguably beat Paddy Pimblett before, so both these guys have had some tough competition, and now they take on one another. May 17th. Another matchup for you for that same. Actually, no, this one's Vegas 107, May 31st. Seok Hyung-ko will be making his UFC debut. He's 11-2 from South Korea. He'll be taking on Billy Ray Goff. Billy Ray Goff 1-1 in the UFC. Holds a win over Yusaku Kinoshita. Interesting. Very interesting. He does have a fight of the night loss, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. But Seok Hyung, the Korean Tyson. Whoa, Seok Hyung-ko, his nickname is the Korean Tyson. I absolutely love that. He's got a nasty arm sleeve on the left side. Dude looks cool. He looks cool. I don't really know much about him, but I mean, he's won championships in Angels Fighting and Double GFC. So clearly he's legit. That one should be interesting. They'll probably slap it on the prelims, most likely. Another one for you on that same Vegas 107 card, May 31st. Andreas Bane Gustafsson back at it, 11-2. I thought he made his UFC debut, but I guess I was mistaken. If they don't consider the Ultimate Fighter, like, fight your final thing, but he's from Sweden. He's taking on Jeremiah Wells. Jeremiah Wells is somehow 39. Doesn't really seem like a 39. He's 4-2 in the UFC, 12-4 professionally, and he just has some tough losses. He really does. He has some cool knockouts, you know, Matthew Semelsberger, Cort McGee, Walray Alvarez. But then he'll have just like the Carlson Harris loss was really embarrassing. He was dominating him and just got caught with a Darce choke or Anaconda choke, I believe it was. Same thing, kind of different, but I'm interested to see, you know, Andreas Gustafsson isn't too much older, you know, he's 34, I want to say, so it'll be tough to make a run in the men's welterweight division at this point in both of their careers, but nonetheless, you get to fight in the UFC, and that's not something a lot of guys can say, so good for them. Another one for you, UFC Kansas City is getting a short notice fight as Evan Elder, who is supposed to fight Ahmed Hassanzadeh. Actually, some fun news about Ahmed Hassanzadeh. He has been arrested for allegedly sexually soliciting a minor. So it actually might have been sexual assault, not even soliciting. I think he might have actually done something with a minor. So Ahmed Hasanzadeh, yeah, if that's true, you definitely need to go to prison. But Evan Elder, who is 2-2 in the UFC, will be back in action against the debuting Gauge Young. It might be Gauge. It's G-A-U-G-E. Gauge G-Money Young, or is it Gauge spelled weird? I don't know, but, you know, he's a jiu-jitsu guy. He holds, you know, 9-2 record. He's 24 years old. I don't know what to expect from him. He looks young. Looks young. He's got this goofy little bowl cut type of look. Fits up to me. I'm probably rocking with Evan Elder. Evan Elder is just, he's fought some tougher guys. You know, Darius Flowers, Gennaro Valdez, Paris Padilla. These are all guys who have fought in the UFC. I don't know if Paris has. Maybe his brother Chris has, but I don't know. I'm probably going with Evan Elder. This is just a very short notice lightweight matchup. But if you're going to see an upset, maybe Gauge or Gauge Young can get it done. Then our second last fight we're going to mention, UFC Baku, of course, going down June 21st in Azerbaijan, has an absolute layup of a fight as Nazim blew the Black Wolf Sadikov, who is 10-1, 3-0 in the UFC. I'm pretty sure he's on an 8-fight, 9-fight winning streak, who's finished Ishmael Bonfim, Terrence McKinney, and beaten Evan Elder, is taking on Nicholas Mota. That's right, Nicholas Mota. I don't know who decided that Nazim Sadikov should be on the verge of the rankings. He's taking on Nicholas Mota. I guess they want to give him a highlight. He is from Azerbaijan, so they definitely wanted to guarantee him a win. This will definitely be on the main card. I just found it hilarious. I'm not trying to knock Nicholas Mota, but I mean, he certainly has had the most impressive fights in the UFC. I mean, that Jim Miller and Miguel Torres knockouts kind of speak for themselves. So, Nazim Sadikov, you have a layup of a fight right in front of you. You just gotta go out and take it. And lastly, ladies and gentlemen, the final fight that we have had announced, and this has been long overcoming, Vicente Luque taking on Kevin Holland. Vicente Luque is still ranked number 14 in the men's welterweight division. Hasn't had the best run as of late. He just lost to Joaquin Buckley, I think it was. But that win is kind of aged good for, Joaquin Buckley. And as for Kevin Holland, got back in the win column, beating, oh my goodness, who did Kevin beat last time out? Didn't he have a goofy win of some kind? Did he get a finish? I honestly never... Oh, Gunnar Nelson. He beat Gunnar Nelson. Absolutely battered him. So Kevin Holland getting another shot. You know, it won't be easy, but this is a perfect fight for both these guys. They're both just at such awkward spots, you know, mid-30s. Never really been able to beat the top guys, but can beat the bottom guys. So winner this definitely is going to get poised for a top 10 opponent. I can almost guarantee that with how their career trajectory goes. If it's up to me, I think I'm going to ride with Kevin Holland. However, oh man, I like both of these guys. You know, I don't know what we're going to get. They kind of look a shell of themselves. They might be a tad past their prime, but this is a fun fight. And hey, either going to be on the prelims or main card of UFC 316. Either way, we'll be tuned in. But ladies and gentlemen, those are all the new fights. That's all we got. You know, hopefully they'll be announcing some new ones soon. But as after this weekend, we got a completely fantastic stretch of matchups, which I am absolutely pumped for. But with that, let's not delay. I was pumped for WrestleMania. I watch WrestleMania. So let me give you guys the entire rundown of everything that went down on WrestleMania 41, Night 1 and Night 2. So let us begin with night number one of WrestleMania. Before we begin, let's just first point out the stage and the crowd. So the entire stage, it was amazing. It gave a very big city vibe. It was a massive stage. And they went all out this year. There was actually seating on the stage. The crowd was massive. But I will say the one thing with WrestleMania is, I can't even lie, it's a very at-home show. You know, I'm sure in person you get a good experience, but you can't really see much in person, especially with the massive crowd that you have. And you really have to make thousands of dollars, if not millions of dollars, to be able to afford good tickets to watch WrestleMania. So I will say the at-home viewing experience is very good. The obvious thing, which has been apparent these last few years, is that when there is an event and it's not in a closed stadium, such as Legion Stadium, where the roof is open, you can still see the sun, and it does kind of put a dampener on the earlier matches. And in fact, it didn't get dark until the last two matches for both nights. Mind you, it started at 6 o'clock Central Time, which means it was going at about 4 in Las Vegas, so starting kind of early, honestly. And it was just, you don't really get the same effect, I will say. Like Rhea Ripley's entrance being in the... Rhea Ripley, Jey Uso, perfect examples. They would have some very cool entrances if it was darker out, and unfortunately it wasn't darker. Damian Priest, another great example. I'd even say the War Raiders, and even a lot of people, you can really see the visuals with that, but Nonetheless, still super cool. I will say that these WrestleMania crowds, you know, last year was good, but this year the crowds were just not into it. And I think it's because you're not getting all your diehard wrestling fans there. That's pretty evident for UFC as well, but UFC crowds are usually better because still you hear the majority of everyone. But with how big that the stadium is, Allegiant Stadium, you know, they have 60,000 people in there. It's, you know, the crowd, you couldn't really hear them at times, you know. Sometimes there was something going on in the ring and something big would happen and someone would win. And I'll just say there were a lot of underwhelming finishes. I'll say that was something apparent, but let's get right on into the matches and discuss them because I don't want to be super negative, but I just want to give an honest opinion. So we kicked off WrestleMania, Jey Uso and Gunther. And I will say there's just something about opening the card with this where it just didn't sit right with me. You know, I would have honestly rather had this be the co-main event or even like the third to last, but even though it set the tone for the night, it was still, you know, not too bad. This is the best Jey Uso match you've ever seen. Gunther has put on classic, so not his best what matchup, but certainly the best that Gunther and Jey Uso have had with themselves, as I think Jey was 0-3 against Gunther or something. But nonetheless, still not that entertaining. It was very slow pace, very run-of-the-mill, a couple new moves here and there, but I mean, it really gave me Sami Zayn vibes. I came and I felt like I was watching something of last year where Gunther is beating him up the entire match, and then all of a sudden, Jey Uso just becomes a superhero, gets it going, and then hits, I kid you not, I think it was like 5 super kicks, 4 splashes, 2 spears, and then put Gunther's rear naked chokehold finisher on him, and Gunther tapped almost right away. And I get that was a callback I learned to an NXT where he lost, I think it was the UK championship or NXT championship, by being submitted to, I think it was Ilja Dragunov or something. I don't know, but certainly a very underwhelming finish right there. And, you know, it's really cool to see Jey Uso win it, but it's more to create a WrestleMania moment. And the Raw after WrestleMania has ended. I think the next direction they're going with is a Sami Zayn matchup. But as for WrestleMania, you know, they've started the card off with worse, but I can't lie. Like, there should have been too much expectations for this match, but I will say it being in the light, this the way it ended, I mean, it was just mid. It was a mid-match. People are saying it was bad. I'm just going to say it was mediocre. They gave him 16 and a half minutes, and I'm going to be honest, it didn't feel like that long. Kind of a slower match, but didn't feel like it was a long 16 and a half minutes. Following that, the New Day defeating the War Raiders. And, you know, they gave him 9 minutes, 15 seconds with this match. And this is just, this should have been on the Raw after WrestleMania. It should have been. And even watching, I was at the Raw where they first fought. And not only should that have been when the New Day won the belts, I mean, they should have at least given this a stipulation. Instead, they didn't. Both the entrances were very just mediocre, and it was a very dull match. And it was like the New Day won, the crowd didn't even care, I at home didn't care. And in even weirder fashion, the New Day just sprinted. By the way, get a clean finish. New Day gets a clean finish and sprints out of there. Sprints out of the building. So I don't know what they're doing. They're a great tag team, but this was just not needed. It didn't feel like WrestleMania. It didn't feel like WrestleMania. I think when that happens with a match, it's already failed. Following that, another 9-minute match. This one went 9:20. Jade Cargill and Naomi, and you know, the presentation of both of these women were amazing. Their feud was a good build-up. The correct winner in Jade Cargill took place. But I will say, I didn't know Jade Cargill's finisher. I also didn't really care too much about this match, and this match didn't do anything spectacular to woo us. There wasn't anything that was making me go, oh my gosh, this is awesome, or a moment where it was like, oh yes, this is exactly what I want. It just kind of happened, and Jade Cargill won. And I'm just gonna say it, like, certainly it's lighter out, certainly the crowd is so big, I don't know, like, Jade Cargill wins, it's gonna do wonders for her. She's gonna chase a major championship, be it on Raw or on SmackDown. You know, you could do her versus any of the women, honestly. There's a lot of good options, so I don't know. Jade Cargill won, it was okay, but it's like, we're now the third match in, and it still feels underwhelming. Like, nothing's really delivered yet. Like, Jey Uso and Gunther didn't really deliver to what we were expecting. New Day and War Raiders didn't even feel like a mania match, and this was just kind of like, okay, this match happened, Jade Cargill won. Like, there's just nothing really, I can't even remember any big spots from this match, if that should tell you. But after that, 10 minutes, 40 seconds for the U.S. Championship. Jacob Fatu beats L.A. Knight. Yes. So I gotta say, yes, this match was fun. This one really picked up the vibe. It really got everyone going. And, you know, Jacob Fatu and LA Knight gave us a fantastic match. And there were some moments where I actually thought LA Knight was going to win. He hit his finisher when Jacob Fatu jumped off the top rope. It was such a great spot. This is one of the best LA Knight in-ring matches I've seen. And Jacob Fatu is going to be a star. And you want to know who won their first ever championship at WrestleMania? And it happened to be the United States Championship in the WrestleMania debut, John Cena. So is Jacob Fatu on his way to a legendary run? I don't know, but certainly this is the correct guy to have the belt with. You also had Solo Sikoa walking him out, which was hilarious because Solo Sikoa at one point was main eventing SummerSlam, and now he's not even ringside for matchups like this. So Jacob Fatu, LA Knight, it's a solid 7 out of 10 match, but a good 7 out of 10. It's not like, this was a 7 out of 10. No, this was a good 7 out of 10. 8 out of 10 feels a bit generous, but this really got everyone into it. And I will say, it is weird to see LA Knight being at a point where he was once the main guy where everyone wanted him to get the belt, and now he's out here dropping the belt to Jacob Fatu. So a bit of a change in the guard, but hey, cool entrance for LA Knight. Pulled up in a super sick looking car, and it was really good. I will say that is one thing this WrestleMania was missing, was good entrances. There was really no legendary entrances here. And up to this point, you know, Jey Uso comes out, people are running with flags, like the crowd's getting as hype as they can, but it's like, you know, not for, I've been in an arena where everyone's doing like the Jey Uso yeet, like thing with their hands, and at WrestleMania, not everyone was doing it. So I will say that was something that was like, if the crowd was really into it, it would have made this good. But Fatu and LA Knight did what needed to. Next up, Chad Gable, a.k.a. El Grande Americano, defeating Rey Fénix, Rey Mysterio, getting injured. Unfortunately, getting injured, so they had to do a late-minute swap, and they throw in their newest luchador, Rey Fénix. And I saw a lot of people saying they should have thrown in Dragon Lee, who was another luchador that could easily have given a good match, but also taken the pinfall. But nonetheless, El Grande Americano wins, 7 minutes, 55 seconds. It felt like a Raw match. It's almost like this match is taking place at such a grand stage. It looked out of place with how big it was, but the entrance was funny. You know, El Grande Americano is this super comical character. Chad Gable is always amazing. He's one of the best workers in the business, and he did what he could. And, you know, I think the end game for El Grande Americano, this angle with Chad Gable, is a Rey Mysterio match. That will happen at some PLE in the future, depending when Rey gets uninjured. And as for Rey Fénix, let's throw him on SmackDown. Let's throw him on Raw. Let's have him get into the mid-card title picture, even in the tag team division. Exciting stuff is ahead for him. But, you know, this was 5 out of 10. It's like they didn't do much with the time they had, and they didn't do anything bad. It just kind of happened. The second to last match of night number one was Tiffany Stratton and Charlotte Flair. And let me just say, decent entrance from both of these women. Certainly Tiffany's with the Barbies was good. Nothing really right home about, but still decent. And then the match was just dull. 19 minutes and 5 seconds. And I'm watching this with my buddies, and we're literally like all talking to ourselves. And we look at TV and like, oh, this is still going on. Oh, this is still going on. And then eventually it's like, oh, Tiffany won. Oh, okay, Tiffany won. Actually, wow, what? Tiffany won. So, yes, Tiffany Stratton beat Charlotte Flair. The correct call, if you're asking me. I think having Charlotte Flair won would have made Tiffany look silly. And instead, Tiffany looks like a boss. And everyone thought she actually chipped a tooth and was bleeding, but it turns out she wasn't, I think was the case. I don't know, but Tiffany Stratton, still your WWE Women's Champion. She just won a WrestleMania. I don't know if it was a WrestleMania debut, was it? I can't remember if she was on 8 Pass Cards. I don't think so. So debut for Tiffany Stratton went super well. She's one of the top women in the company. Nothing to complain about right there. Now, the match is just boring. Boring match. And when you have a boring wrestling match, it is worse than a bad wrestling match. Because with bad wrestling matches, you can point out, hey, this is bad. But when they're boring, you're literally like, ugh. No, the crowd wasn't into it. They didn't do any crazy spots. They have no chemistry. They really have no chemistry. And honestly, after this past year, I can do without Charlotte Flair in the women's title picture. So Tiffany Stratton, Charlotte Flair, it was mediocre at best, and just honestly ready to move on, see what's better in the head for the future with Tiffany Stratton. As for Charlotte Flair, I don't know what to do with her. I really don't know what to do with her, but certainly this was a WrestleMania-level match, but didn't bring us a WrestleMania-level result. But, do not fear not, my good friends, because then the main event took place, and this is the highlight of WrestleMania 41. I'm going to be honest, this is probably the best triple threat match I've seen. This is one of the best WrestleMania main events I've ever seen. This was phenomenal. CM Punk, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins was cinema. It was amazing. They gave him 32 minutes and 55 seconds, the longest WrestleMania match of WrestleMania 41, and it was just amazing. It was amazing. Seth Rollins comes out. He has this like black attire that uses his flame gun. Lights come out. He comes out in this white thing, you know, almost like a, I don't know if they're trying to do like dark and light or something, but Seth Rollins comes down, then Roman Reigns comes down. You can just feel the power, and like on all of these electronic billboards they had falling down from the sky, it's all these old, all of this is Samoan, all the bloodline, like his real family members, and that was amazing to see. And then CM Punk comes out, and his promo has his old theme song, this Firebirds, and it's talking about how this is his first main event, and this has all he's been dreaming for, and the storyline between these three, and Paul Heyman's walking with him, and it was so amazing. And what did they do successfully? From the get-go, I was invested. And you know, one good thing you can always tell with a match, when you can tell it's going to go a long time, they always start out in the ring, move to the outside, then actually go around the arena. There were some funny spots with trash cans, with chairs. I mean, it was really phenomenal. And you had this cool moment when Roman Reigns dove over the barricade. It was so much fun. And it was just going. And you had this moment where Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins almost got Roman Reigns to team up with him. And then Roman Reigns speared both of them. I think there was a moment where Roman Reigns, did he spear someone through a table? Someone went through a table. I can't remember. I think Roman Reigns put both of these guys through a table. It was just action-packed. It was amazing, and everyone was invested. So many close finishes. So many close finishes. I mean, truly, all three of these guys got hit with so many finishers. It was kind of ruining their finishers, but at the same time, it was so entertaining. And then you get to this interesting point. This interesting point where all the men are down in the ring, and Paul Heyman grabs a chair. And Paul Heyman grabs a chair, and he's like, you know what? I gotta give it to someone. And he slides it to CM Punk, to the dismay of Roman Reigns. And then Paul Heyman gets in the ring, and right when he got in the ring, I'm like, oh my gosh, he's gonna turn. And he gets in, and CM Punk goes to hit Roman Reigns, and a low blow down goes CM Punk, and Paul Heyman hands the chair to his tribal chief, his best friend, Roman Reigns. That's right, they've been together for 5 straight years, and then Roman Reigns lines up to hit Seth Rollins exactly how Seth Rollins hit Roman Reigns, and Paul Heyman gives Roman Reigns a low blow, the double betrayal. Seth Rollins takes the chair, beats him down, hits Roman Reigns with the curb stomp, and Seth Rollins leaves WrestleMania Night 1 as your victor with the wise man, Paul Heyman. That's right, Seth Rollins is a freaking Paul Heyman guy. This was awesome. I saw people saying this was predictable, but how it was executed, the long-term storytelling, the angles they had here, this was amazing. It's truly cinema. We bring up the terminology cinema. This was amazing. And the shock on CM Punk and Roman Reigns' face, like, we've both been bamboozled. We've both been swindled. And it's Paul Heyman, who all along was the true victor, aligning with who he saw as the rightful person to take the throne of WWE. And, you know, Seth Rollins doesn't need a belt. Seth Rollins is almost like the Max Holloway of the UFC, I'll say. He is a household name now, and certainly he looks a lot bigger. You know, I knew Seth Rollins was always a big deal, but he feels like a big deal walking out of this. And I really hope they give CM Punk a Mania main event next year and he wins, for goodness sakes, but all this match cook, 10 out of 10, and this saved the entire night. I'm going to be honest, out of the 7 matches on here, this one was the only real, wow, this is a WrestleMania main event, this is a WrestleMania match. So, Seth Rollins, CM Punk, Roman Reigns, it was one of the greatest triple threat matches. I'll say, this is the greatest WrestleMania triple threat match I've ever seen, and it truly saved Night 1. It took Night 1 from a 4 out of 10 to an 8 out of 10. That's how much this match did. It's really the highlight of WrestleMania, but this was so amazing. Go rewatch that. It is truly worth it. And with that, we took ourselves a little, not even a 24-hour break. I mean, it was a decent-sized break, but it was the next day. It was Easter, and Night 2 of WrestleMania had kicked off, and we were ready to get going. Everyone was ready. The crowd was buzzing, and we got things going with another triple threat match for the Women's World Championship. Only 14 and a half minutes, and this was so freaking good. This is the best women's triple threat match I've seen in a long time. They did everything they needed to. Shocking angles, shocking finishes from the get-go. It's entertaining. Io Sky, Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley, close pins back and forth, and the finish, the triple swerve of all, Rhea Ripley's going to win. No, Bianca Belair's going to win. Then Io Sky off the top rope. She gets the pin, and the crowd went nuts. Oh my gosh, it was so freaking good. This match cooked. Hands down, best women's match of WrestleMania, best women's world championship match in a long time. I mean, this cooked so good. And this is truly how you meant to get WrestleMania started. This had everyone buzzing. This had the crowd excited and hype, and it was good. It was so freaking good. Honestly, I thought they were going to give it to Rhea Ripley, but not Io Sky walking out as the champion. I'm excited to see what happens with her. I'm excited to see what they do with Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair, and especially Io Sky. I mean, this was phenomenal. Great start. This is a 9 out of 10 match, I'll say. This really got the crowd going. And the fact that two of the greatest triple threat matches you'll ever see in WrestleMania, mind you, not even just WrestleMania, but WWE, even wrestling in general, happened just like that. One closed the show, one opened the show. Amazing. Amazing work. And just everyone was into it. The crowd was loving it. And yeah, fantastic. Cool entrances from some of them. I will say, you know, Rhea Ripley's had cooler ones. Last year's, hers was cooler, but Io Sky's was decent. Bianca Belair's was just heartfelt, if you will. I don't know. They were all supposed to be faces. Everyone was booing Bianca Belair. I absolutely love that. Following that, we had the Sin City Street Fight between Drew McIntyre and Damian Priest. 13 minutes and 55 seconds. I'll say, for starters, that I thought this was slow. I truly did. I thought this was a very slow-paced match. And there were some good moments, you know, once we got some objects out there. But honestly, I didn't really care. You know, I've seen these two match up. Their matchup at Clash at the Castle was phenomenal. That one was 10 times better than this. And, you know, Drew McIntyre finally winning was long overdue, but I don't know. It did what it had to. It added in some objects for once for WrestleMania, and seeing Drew McIntyre win was fun. You know, Drew McIntyre is one of those guys you boo him, but you secretly love him. He had this very interesting, I don't even know, entrance with, I think it was Doom or something. And that is one thing this WrestleMania took to an entirely new level, and that is sponsorships. I mean, there were multiple matchups where all they were talking about were sponsorships. The entire ring was littered with sponsorships. There were certain matches sponsored by companies. I mean, it was kind of getting obnoxious. I can't even lie. But I don't know. Nothing bad happened in this match. But it was kind of, it just felt slow to me watching. You know, I'm with my buddy. He thought it was great. You know what? We'll say it was a good match. It felt WrestleMania worthy. It was good. Then we had, I can't believe this only went 10 minutes. This should have been given 30 minutes. Dominic Mysterio, Bron Breakker, Finn Balor, Penta, Fatal 4-Way for the Intercontinental Championship. We knew it was going to be good, and still watch it. It was phenomenal. And I will say, you know, not Penta was great in this match, but never really had us thinking Penta was going to win. Finn Balor had maybe one moment where he thought he was going to win, but other than that, not too many. But it was Bron Breakker who really was a star in this matchup. And then the swerve at the end, Dominic Mysterio wins it, and the crowd went electric. I mean, this crowd went nuts for Dirty Dominic Mysterio. Yes, he is your new WWE Intercontinental Champion, and it was amazing. Truly amazing. I mean, Bron Breakker is a freak of nature. Penta is a certified star. Finn Balor just, can we give Finn Balor a program where he wins, for goodness sakes? Please, can we give Finn Balor a program where he wins? And now Mysterio getting a WrestleMania moment, this is what it's all about. And after this match, I mean, it became pretty evident Night 2 was doing much better than Night 1. Truly, and everyone's kind of going like, Night 2 is going to clear Night 1. And then we got to the Randy Orton Joe Hendry match. That is right. It was an open challenge, and it only lasted 3 minutes, but Randy Orton's like, who's coming down? Who's coming to get it? His entrance was awesome. I could hear the crowd singing, and then say his name, and he appears. Joe Hendry comes out. I thought it was such a meme match. I mean, it was just fan service, and I know people wanted to be Nick Aldis, wanted to be a real story, but they have something planned for Randy Orton with, I think, John Cena coming up at Backlash. So this worked fine how it did. And Randy Orton, you know, not a heel, not a face. He is just Randy freaking Orton. And he's hitting Joe Hendry with multiple RKOs. They honestly gave us almost a moment where you thought maybe Joe Hendry was going to win. And it was kind of funny, the finish where Joe Hendry kept doing his, like, stereotypical, like, spin around, and then he got hit with an RKO. It worked. It honestly worked. I know some people aren't going to like it, but it's just, you know, Randy Orton does need, like, a real WrestleMania. Like, you know, I will say it's been such an underwhelming last few. Gosh, it's been a while since he's had a good WrestleMania match. So this was fun. It was entertaining. But I'm excited for maybe next year you get a little Randy Orton and Cody Rhodes, maybe. I don't know. Still, this was good. Then Logan Paul defeating AJ Styles 17 minutes and 50 seconds. This was long. This was long. And I will say it was unexpectedly long. They didn't do anything out of the books, anything wild. And Logan Paul kind of won. It was kind of like, that's it? I mean, you had this weird angle with Karrion Kross coming in, and, you know, Karrion Kross honestly left the match looking the best out of everyone. Logan Paul just kind of looked like a second fiddle to AJ Styles and Karrion Kross, who are going to have their own little feud, which is, by the way, kind of revitalizing Karrion Kross, so props to AJ Styles for bringing that out of Karrion Kross. And That was okay, but Logan Paul was, like, toying with the drone a bit. You know, no one likes Logan Paul. Like, he's a great heel, but I thought AJ Styles should have won. AJ's been buried to just all hell. AJ Styles is cooked, if you're asking me. That dude is, I mean, he's reached a point where he's putting over talent to a point where it's like, okay, we don't need to keep forcing AJ Styles to lose. So, Logan Paul gets the win. I wasn't really expecting that. I thought they'd give it to AJ Styles, but good for Logan Paul. And no Prime Bottle. They didn't have Speed, Kai Cenat, Mr. Beast. No one was in the Prime Bottle. Logan Paul just showed up and won. And that was that. And you were all kind of like, okay. So that was kind of a downer. It is what it is. Then second to last match of the night, I will say, unlike night one where you kind of had a match that was expected to be good, you have the Women's Tag Team Championship matchup. This definitely should have been a spot for Randy Orton, a spot for Logan Paul, AJ Styles, a spot for pretty much any matchup but this. Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez taking on Lyra Valkyria and a mystery opponent because Bayley was taken out of the match for some reason. And who is it? Becky Lynch. Fun return. Lyra and Becky Lynch beat Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez, win the Women's Tag Team Championships. 8 minute, 4 second match. Okay. Did what they had to do. Good for Becky Lynch and Lyra Valkyria. Lyra Valkyria looked dope with two belts. Becky Lynch looking like she hasn't skipped a beat. Honestly, I missed Becky Lynch a tad compared to how I did really miss Charlotte. I kind of did miss Becky Lynch. She was entertaining to see, and it happened. This happened. And then, in between this match and the main event, Stone Cold Steve Austin. This was so entertaining. Stone Cold Steve Austin comes out on an ATV. You know, his music hits. He comes out on ATV, crashes into the barricade where he's doing a turn. He hits it. A woman, like, was trying to do, like, an insurance claim type of thing with a car, acted like she had just been hit by a rocket ship, falls out of her chair. You have Nick Khan, another WWE official, over there talking to her. She was trying to get a settlement or something, I guarantee. It was super funny, and Stone Cold's in the ring saying, like, we have 63,000 people. I don't know how that's 2,000 more than last night. It was so funny. You could just tell Stone Cold had been hitting the beers before coming out. He got out of there. It was entertaining. And then we won't delay. John Cena, Cody Rhodes. It happened. It was, I don't even know what to say. I have a lot of words, honestly. I mean, it was not a letdown. You know, it wasn't a letdown, but certainly what they went for with this match just didn't really hit. It didn't really hit. You know, John Cena's character, for some reason, I don't really like it. Like, I just think the one thing I don't like about heel John Cena is he's trying to ruin wrestling. And how is he ruin wrestling? His final Mania match. Like, his final this is the final John Cena entrance you're ever going to get. Mind you, this guy has came crashing through glass in a Camaro. He's come out to a marching band. He's come out to, like, 100 clones of himself. He has come out to, I can't remember what he did at WrestleMania 26, 27. He had a choir singing for him. 28, he had MGK open for him. You know, he has had so many great entrances throughout history. And this one was just, it was black and white, and it just said John Cena across the thing. And I'm like, okay, you know, that's the mentality he's bringing. And then Cody Rhodes comes out, cool mask, cool entrance. He's looking like the man. And then they proceed to put on a boring match. Like, I mean, I'm not afraid to call it out. Like, I love John Cena. I mess with Cody Rhodes. It was a boring match. It was not an entertaining match. I know most matches build, but this one was getting slow to a point where I'm kind of like, dude, I can't even defend this to non-wrestling fans. Like, this is just dull wrestling. And that starts to pick up. You know, John Cena's doing some cheap shots. Cody Rhodes getting the better of him. Oh, then John Cena's getting better of him. And then, you know, the ref gets knocked down. Okay, ref gets knocked out. I'm excited to see what happens. And then nothing really happens. I mean, Cody Rhodes kind of reverses it. Cody Rhodes reverses. Cody didn't reverse anything. He reversed, like, John Cena almost doing a cheap shot on him. And then Travis Scott comes out. The Fiend hits, and out comes Travis Scott with the Hardcore Championship. Takes about 5 minutes to 10 minutes to walk down to the ring. I mean, literally, the 21 minutes and 40 seconds, a solid 4 minutes of that match was Travis Scott walking down. I don't even know if they were going to consider that part of that match time. He comes down. He pulls out the ref, which is then not a disqualification. Don't know how that works. Gets in the ring. He then takes a, what do you want to call it? A crossroads from Cody Rhodes, which is entertaining. And then I'm like, I wonder if The Rock's going to come out. The Rock didn't come out. Stone Cold Steve Austin didn't come out. Literally no one came out. And then Cody Rhodes and John Cena are fighting with the belt. John Cena was trying to bring it in to do a cheap shot on Cody Rhodes. And then Cody Rhodes has it. And he's like, oh, I'm going to go hit you with the belt, John Cena. John Cena's like, no, don't hit me. Don't hit me. And Cody Rhodes, like, resists, looks down at John Cena, hits him with a low blow, picks up the belt, hits him with it, and then pins him. 1, 2, 3. And it honestly felt anticlimactic. it truly did. I can't lie. I'm like, John Cena won. I'm super happy, but should have ended with a giant F5 or something and then hit him with a pin. But no, John Cena wins it being a heel, and he said he was going to ruin wrestling, and I guess that his heel character is just putting on boring matches, not giving the fans what they want. But that doesn't really do much for WWE fans, because what you want to do with your fans is give them what they want, you know? So, I don't know. John Cena wins his 17th World Championship. Great to see. You know, I was there. I got to see it. But, it wasn't really the most exciting matchup. And as I look back at the night as a whole, I mean, it started promising and then kind of took it downhill. So, I'd say night two is a 6 out of 10, you know? Night one was way... Actually, here's the thing. Night two had better matches overall, but the main event of night one was so good. The official Mania main event were forever. I would say it's that, but you can't put John Cena winning his 17th World Championship over that. So, great main events overall if we look at it from that standpoint. But in terms of if matches were exciting or not, you know, Jey Uso Gunther, no. The New Day War Raiders, no. Jade Cargill Naomi, no. Jacob Fatu LA Knight, yes. El Gran Americano Rey Fénix, I'm saying no. Tiffany Stratton, Charlotte Flair, no. Triple Threat match, main event, Seth Rollins, CM Punk, Reigns, yes. Io Sky, Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley, yes. Drew McIntyre, Damian Priest, I'm saying no. Fatal 4-Way, obviously yes. Randy Orton, Joe Hendry, yes. Logan Paul, AJ Styles, I'm going to say no. Women's Tag Team Championship, I'm going to say no. And John Cena, Cody Rhodes, I'm going to say no. People are calling this the worst WrestleMania of all time, and I think that is just not true. In the slightest, I had to sit through WrestleMania 34. WrestleMania 35 was an awful. 36 was dull. I've also had to sit through WrestleMania 27, WrestleMania 29 even wasn't the best. WrestleMania 30, honestly, hasn't aged as well as I thought. WrestleMania 32 really sucked. So, there's just been a lot of bad WrestleManias, and this wasn't one of them. Was it one of the best WrestleManias? No, it wasn't one of the worst. I'll say that for certain. Where do these main events rank in all time? I mean, Seth Rollins, CM Punk, and Roman Reigns, that's in the top 10. That's a top 10 WrestleMania match right there. WrestleMania main event, I kid you not. I mean, we ranked them all last episode, and honestly, I could safely say that would sneak into the top 10. As for Cody Rhodes and John Cena, moment-wise, best moment of WrestleMania, but actual match, I mean, that's a legit 2 out of 5 wrestling match. Gonna be honest, I wasn't really shocked at anything. I mean, it was just there. It happened, it was there, and that was the match. That's how it went, and with that, WrestleMania concluded. And yes, after WrestleMania has taken place, so it looks like some of the next things you're going to see are John Cena, Randy Orton at Backlash. That's going to go hard. Bron Breakker is now on a team with Seth Rollins, and he's with Paul Heyman, so that's pretty cool. So I don't know if CM Punk's going to align himself with Roman Reigns. I don't know. Jey Uso is obviously going to feud with Sami Zayn. I think it's going to be more of a friendly feud, which actually makes me think that Sami Zayn is going to lose. Actually, Jey Uso is going to win, I should better say it. Keep that belt. Gunther attacked Pat McAfee. I think he might do Roxanne Perez versus Io Sky. I'll be interested to see. Rusev's back in the WWE, so Rusev, throw him in a little matchup against Dominic Mysterio something. I don't know. WWE is an interesting spot. You know, after last year's WrestleMania, wrestling was red hot. And after this WrestleMania, I don't know. I'm not necessarily as sold as I was last year. You know, as I look back at the last few WrestleManias, did this hit the same as 40 and 39? No. 38? I might even say 38 was a tad better. But when we get into our 37, 36s, 35s, 34s, 33s, 32s, I think it's better than a couple of those. So here you have it, ladies and gentlemen. There was your WrestleMania Night 1 and Night 2 recaps. If I'm going to tell you when to go back and rewatch anything, both Triple Threat matches, I do think you got to rewatch John Cena and Cody Rhodes to truly experience it. Other than that, I mean, the Fatal 4-Way for the Intercontinental Championship slapped. Other than that, nothing really else is rewatchable. That's all I really got for you guys. So continue to log on. Check out the Surprise Jet Podcast. I want to grow this. I want to be a very successful human being. I truly do. I want to fly on private jets. I want my kids to live a lavish life. I want to retire my parents. I want to do whatever I want and live a great life. But, you know, then I center myself and think of, well, what does God want for me? I think that's a question I'll need to figure out first. But before I can do that, I will first send you on your own way. That's right. Next time I talk with you, we will be dropping our UFC Kansas City predictions. Should be exciting. And we'll probably check in with the NBA and NHL because we haven't checked in with them in a while. So, ladies and gentlemen, have an amazing week. Have an amazing life. And I will see you next time on the Surprise Jab Podcast.